Yes, welcome along. It's the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hite in the hosting chair this week for some flat action. All flat card on ITV this Saturday. Oh, it's good to say that. The summer is really kicking in. The weather's looking good outside, and we're going to get some quick ground racing across Newmarket, Goodwood and Fersk this weekend. Three race courses to look forward to. Of course, it is the 2,000 guineas and the 1,000 guineas Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Really looking forward to seeing who the top class mile three-year-olds are going to be this season. I'm joined this week by the Racing Post's Robbie Wilders and Matt Rennie, alongside Ed Nixon, who always joins us from Unibet. Right, we're going to get straight into the action then, gents, and kick things off at Newmarket. We start off with the 145, which is the Betfred handicap. It's heritage handicap over six furlongs. Comes there at 145, and currently looking at the market, Double Rush is now the even money favourite. Seems like it's been well backed with Unibet. Addison Gray 5-1, Jack Ajaro 17-2, Invictus Gold 9-1, 10-1 about Cool Angel, 12-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. Robbie Wilders, great to have you on as always. I just want to mention Double Rush here. I mean, I say the horse has been well backed, but I remember being in the office with you and I think I said this horse just looked like a group horse to me, and it's definitely a group horse in the British sprinting kind of division anyway, because it's not a great division as we all know, but I thought he was so impressive last time out. I'm not surprised he's been well backed.
Yeah, he was, Sam. I think he's fully deserving of that short price, really. Don't think he would have looked completely out of place in the Abundant Stakes. No. Like the time was really good. He won it by miles. RPI of 108. He's not a million miles off group level already, and he's run off 95 under a £5 penalty. So he's going to be really hard to beat. And of course, as we know, the Rolling Mile is a place for front runners. He's going to be prominent. He's not going to get in any sort of trouble. I just find it hard, unless he somehow bounces from that return and impressive stable debut. But I just don't really see it. I think his future is destined for better things than handicaps.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I genuinely think we'll see him in some top-class races, especially towards the back end of the season. Matt Rennie, are you in agreement with that, with Double Rush being a well-deserved favourite?
Oh, wholeheartedly. And as you say, with the dearth of six furlong sprinters in the UK at the moment, you could see him sneaking a group three, group two, maybe within the next sort of month or so, or even developing as far as into a July Cup horse come the middle of the summer. You know, the Rolling Mile also clearly brings out the best. You know, he's a two-time winner here now, but twice at the Craven meet in the last 2 years. I think he's about £8 well in or something ridiculous, yeah, as well for this contest. Everything's just pointing completely right in the right direction, and I don't think it's the strongest of handicaps for the level you'll see either. It's not a betting race for me, but you could see him absolutely going in really, really strongly.
Yeah. Ed Nixon, if there was ever going to be a hat trick horse on the show, it could be this, and we kick things off with it. Are you in agreement with the gents' Double Rush? I'm in agreement anyway.
Yeah, no, can't see this being beaten, really. Anything bigger than evens, I think, is not a bad price. As everyone said, he's got the course form, he's got the recent form, he's got improvement to come, and he's following the same way that last year's winner came from, More Thunder, won the same race that this horse won at Newmarket a few weeks ago. So, yeah, everything's positive. I think that's all we have to say, really. I think Double Rush wins. Don't be worried that Ashim Murphy's not riding, because yeah, I think Shane Foley's the jockey. I think people have been put away with that, but he is the jockey who rides for the owner. So, yeah, everything looks rosy. Double Rush to double win at Newmarket.
There we go. Double Rush then. Four-timer for us here on the Postcast. We all fancy this horse. Hopefully he can go in the first race on ITV. From Newmarket, the 220 at Newmarket. 1 mile, 1 furlong for the Suffolk Stakes. Another heritage handicap here. And currently looking at Unibet's website, this is much more competitive. Mr. Winston's a 7-2 favourite. Bullet Points 11-2. The Lost King 6-1. Botanical 13-2. Mahaba Gaia 17-2. Alcaraz 9-1. Double figures about the rest of the field. You could make a fair case for a lot of these in here, Matt. I don't know where you've kind of sided, but yeah, it's not an easy race to find the winner.
Never is with the Suffolk Stakes. And the most obvious one is Bullet Point. If he was to be a group horse in a handicap, would be him. He was a really good winner of the Clipper handicap at York's Ebor meeting last summer, which is typically very competitive. But I don't think it'll be him. I'm happy to side with more of an older, more exposed sort of horse, and that's Erzincan for Terry Kent. Look, he's not getting any older, but he's only had five runs for Terry's yard, and one of them is a real standout, really good run in the Cambridgeshire last September, where he won his side of the race, first for 12 in the group, and he's only 1 pound higher than that. Look, he was tried at listed level at the end of last season. That's just not his level. These handicaps are made for him, especially on this quick ground as well. He said he's on a mark of 99, 1 pound higher than when it was a really good race in the Cambridgeshire. And I don't see this being just as strong as that at this stage of the season anyway. So I think he's quite a little bit overpriced, I'd say, for what he showed at the course before in Real Promise. And yeah, I wouldn't ignore his age. Terry's a good trainer with these handicappers as well.
Yeah, well spotted as well. Erzin Can for Matt Rennie there. Yeah, currently 11-1 with Unibet. Robbie Wilders, it's a bit of a specialist distance, this mile 1 furlong. I don't know kind of how you look at these races, whether you like horses who kind of, you know, that their mile is stepping up, or whether you like those kind of 10 furlong horses that are dropping back. How do you look at these?
Sort of bit of both, really, Sam. I don't get too overly married over the trip, but I do see the bullet point. He could be that group horse. He's 2 from 2 at the track. Like Matt said, he won the Clipper impressively. He actually would have won the Royal Hunt Cup if Mike Cloud wasn't in it, and he was so well handicapped that they won his side. He's just got really top handicap form. You can sort of forgive his two disappointments later on in the season. They were in group races. But I also agree with Reynolds on Erzin Can. Just worry about him. He does like to get held up, and it can be tricky coming from off the pace at Newmarket. But if this is run to suit, he could go really well at a big price. I mean, in the Cambridge show, like Matt said, he won his side by 4.5 lengths. He's only back on the same mark as that. And first time out last season, he was 4th in the John Smith's Cup at York. Fared best of the held up runners that day. Paid to be prominent. That was another big effort. He's on a mark he can win off. And I assume he's going to be ready enough because he ran so well over the course and distance in the Cambridgeshire. And you're getting, what, 14, 12 to 1? I think that's very fair.
Okay. Erzin Can, 2 for Erzin Can. Everyone's agreeing this week, Ed Nicholson. I'm not sure this will be difficult to get a hat trick, though.
Yeah, no, it is a difficult race. So the hat trick has not been accomplished with me. First of all, this is money back, second or third. Our flagship offer. Unibet, there's 13 runners, it's 7-2 roughly the field, so it is quite a difficult race. And I'm going to go for Botanical. He finished 4th in the Lincoln, has run well on this sort of ground, also run well on softer, must be said, but I think his stable's in good form. Carl Burke's 65% runners to form at the moment on the Racing Post website. And I just looked at his last few winnings. He had 9 winners from his last 35 runners. And for his last 15 runners, he's only had 2 that have finished out the first 4. He's absolutely flying. Obviously, he has a few chances at Newmarket on Saturday. But Botanical, I thought, ran really well in the Lincoln. And he's going to try and emulate a former stable companion of Carl Burke's. Liberty Lane did exactly the same. For the stable, for the owner, for the jockey, back in 2020. He finished 13th in the Lincoln behind Mr. Professor and then came out and won this next time out. And this will be the same route for Botanical. So I'm just hoping the lightning strikes twice and Carl Burke is only be his second runner in the race. Hopefully he'll end the race having still 100% record, because I think Botanical's got a decent chance here.
Okay. Botanical for Ed Nicholson. Yeah, money back second or third there. Head to Unibet's website for all the terms and conditions there. So yeah, Botanical for Ed and Erzin Can for the two Racing Post gents on this week's postcast in the 220, the Suffolk Stakes. Right, let's move on then to 255, which is the Whirlpool Palace House Stakes Group 3 contest over 5 furlongs. And guess who's back? Asfura is back on our courses in the UK once again. She's going to go for another campaign in England and potentially Ireland, maybe even Europe. But she is an absolute star and she's topping the market currently. Unibet 7-2, Rumstars 13-2, Frost at Dawn 13-2, Kinnort 7-1, JM Jungle 15-2, Knight Raider 8-1, Ain't Nobody is 10-1 and 11-1 bar these. Robbie Wilders, Asfura, she is very good. She's going to probably get her ground. It's going to be fairly quick at Newmarket. It's just whether she's going to be ready first time up.
Yeah, that's it, Sam. I mean, she's obviously got the best form in the field, but £7 penalty first time up tends to take a run or two to hit full stride. Debuting for Lemos de Souza, I think there's enough there to take her on, even though she is the best horse in the race. Like we say, the sprinters, they're not a great bunch in Britain, but They do make for awfully competitive races. And Frost at Dawn has long looked like she's going to win a very big one. Almost did it in the King's Stand. American Affair beat her by a neck there. She obviously likes really fast ground. She proved that in the Nunthorpe two starts later, when only being a length and a quarter bias for her. £7 swing. A fair bit better price with William Knight going really well. Yeah, I can see a bold effort from her. And she's a front runner. She could just take a bit of pegging back.
Okay. You're either with her or you're not, to be honest, Matt. I don't know how you've looked at this race, but I personally, I mean, I'm looking forward to her later in the season, but I'll be against her on Saturday. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Obviously, she's had a little bit of a different sort of winter campaign, inverted commas, rest than she did before, because she's been over here apparently for the whole of the winter, and that's why Lemos, who is the husband of Amy Murphy, who trains in France but still has a yard in Newmarket, where S4 has been based when she's come on her adventures here before. Obviously, she'll be in Henry's name when she's back at Ascot, and I think they're just trying to get her to absolutely peak there, and then the Nunthorpe, and then the Labay again. So it just all looks against her at this stage. I also think she's better on flatter tracks as well. I know Ascot's can be quite stiff, but it's not as undulating as Newmarket is. And I promise I'm not copying Robbie, but I really, really like Frost at Dawn in this race as well. I think she's an absolutely little cracking horse who's been underestimated really throughout her career. She runs Stormers in Group 1s consistently enough, especially on quicker ground as well, which they look like they're going to have at Newmarket. It's going to be hot there on Friday, so the ground's going to dry out quick, no matter how much water they decide to put on. She's gone close over the course and distance in the listed race on 2000 Guineas Day last year over 6 furlongs. I think she's far better over this 5 furlong trip as well. And as Robbie said, I do think she's just not appreciated. I think she could bag a Group 1 this year, especially in this division. Where it may be, who knows, but this looks well within her grasp, especially getting the weight as well from S4 and Rumstar, who I thought might have been the biggest danger, but she gets £3 off of him.
Yeah. Ed Nicholson, these gents, they're reading off the same notes this week. Three races, three agreements there. Who did you like in this race?
Yeah, I didn't get the memo, did I? No, I'm going against the field, as it were, and against the form experts I feel, mm-hmm. because the horse I fancy is 16-1 at the moment.
Wow.
And that's Beckford's Folly, a 3-year-old from Charlie Appleby stable. Now, last year in this very podcast, I said about this race that I love this race for two reasons. Because first of all, it's a good race, and sprinters haven't got that many options at grade three, kind of beginning of the season. So it normally gets quite a good runner, number of runners in this race. But secondly, it's a race to follow for the rest of the season. There's bound to be winners from it. And it's the same this year. This race, there'll be plenty of horses that will either need the run or be taking the run on with a Royal Ascot stepping stone in mind or even later. And I just had a look back to see whether I was right. And in this race last year, no half measures was 4-1. He ended up winning the July Cup at 66-1. Next time out, both Tropical Storm and Beautiful Dreams won. Washington Heights won the City Walls at York 2 runs later. And Quality Dreams ran in a whole host of good races and finished second in the Abbey. So, I mean, there's plenty of horses here that will be making a name for them later on in the season. So that's the first thing. I think this race will there'll be a host of winners coming from it. But 3-year-olds have got a good record in this race. I think they've had 5 winners from 36, 38 runners. Beckford's Folly, she's a bit fizzy. If you read Charlie Appleby's comments or heard him on the TV, they don't want to run Beckford's Folly too far away from Newmarket. I think nearly every race has been at Newmarket, maybe 4 from 6. I just thought this might be a time to get Beckford's Folly. 3-year-olds obviously got a good record in the race, as I said. And Charlie Appleby's got a good record in this race. He's only had 3 runners in this race ever, and they've finished 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So obviously it's a race that he only goes with horses he thinks he's got a chance with. And at the beginning of the season, if they can get this filly right, if they can get Beckford's Folly right on the day, then I think this gelding could go really well at a big price, around about 16-1 at the moment. I don't think he'll be the best horse by the end of the season, but I think there'll be a lot of horses here that may not be ready first time out.
Okay. All the panel are taking on Asfura, then Edward Beckford's Folly and the two gents, Robbie and Matt, with Frost at Dawn. Do let us know down in the comments who you like in this race, and a race I definitely want to hear our viewers' opinions on, arguably is going to be the next race, the 3:35, which is the Betfred 2000 Guineas. It's a mile, Group 1 here for the three-year-olds. No geldings allowed in this. It really does throw up some classy horses, and I will go through majority of the field here. Bo Echo is currently topping the market at 5-2. Distant Storm is 4-1. Gustard is 4-1. King's Trail is 15-2. Oxagon is 11-1. Avicenna is 12-1. Alparsland 16-1. Needle Match 18s, 22-1 about the Secret Adversary, 28-1 about Into the Sky, 40-1 and bigger about the rest of this field. It really is a race this year that has been with plenty of drama. We've obviously had Aiden's horses coming out by accident and then being put back in the race. We've had kind of Bo Echo being the real talk horse, George Bowie saying plenty about this horse, but a few questioning whether this horse is going to be as good at three. Godolphin horses enjoying runs on the all-weather before coming here, and we've got a Craven and Greenham winner in here, with Craven and Greenham winners in here at double figure odds. It really is a fascinating contest this year. Matt Rennie, you're going to open the floor for me here. The 2000 Guineas, who's winning it?
Yeah, it's a humdinger because it's so open. And had we been sat here this time last month, maybe before, I'd been going to the winner of the 2000 Guineas would have been Gawain. But obviously, so tragically, he was fatally injured in a gallop at Kempton, just because the form of his races have all been red hot, really, and especially the Dewhurst win. I'm sticking along those lines of a horse he beat, just, and I think he's ultra reliable, is Gustard. Obviously the drama, him being accidentally taken out of the race and then supplemented back in. I think it's key that they're going here with him rather than to France and sending Puerto Rico over for the French 2000 Guineas. I just think he might just be the best horse in possibly a subpar edition of the 2000 Guineas, given we've got no Gawain, no Publish, and a fair few others missing as well. And look, people might point to Aidan O'Brien's record in the Guineas recently. He has been of concern, but I feel this is a horse that the big target is the Guineas. The 2000 Guineas wasn't the be all and end all for Auguste Rodin nor City of Troy. That it was all about the Derby for them. Whereas Gustard, I think, is a proper miler, and he was just ultra reliable last year. I mean, on the bob of some photos, he could have been coming into this as a 3-time Group 1 winner. I thought he miles above in the class in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Del Mar. We know he's going to love this. Hopefully, the rattling quick ground they've got there, and arguably should have got a bit closer in the Dewhurst as well from where he was. So a bit sort of the same sort of safety, you know, the surety, you know, he's going to turn up, I think, is Gustard. And I wouldn't be worried about Aidan O'Brien's recent record in the Guineas, and that it definitely can change here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And like some might say, you know, when Aiden sends kind of 3 or 4 into these classics, you know, he's got a better chance. But I actually sometimes look at this and go, if he's relying on one horse in a race like this, he clearly thinks he's top class and good enough to go and win a 2000 Guineas. Robbie, I don't know whether you've got Matt's notes for this or whether you've ignored him on this occasion.
No, I'll be disagreeing with Reynolds on this one, even though I completely get the case for Gustard. Gustard has outstanding. What are you saying about that, mate?
Gustard. I think it is Gustard, to be fair.
Gustard has outstanding juvenile form. And like Renner says, I mean, he's got a different profile to City of Troy and Auguste Rodin, who flopped in this. They were considered prospective mile and a half horses. He's just going to be a miler. He's not going to go any further than that, I can't see. Maybe 10 furlongs at most. And the Gustard's form is red hot. Having said that, I like to find something at a price. And I think this Needle Match is a pretty good horse. He was fourth in the Greenham. Didn't know anything about him, really, until the other day, to be honest, because he won an October maiden at Newbury on soft ground. And then he's run really big race in the Greenham, I thought. The three in front of him are Parsland, Zavateri, Albert Einstein, mounted their challenge at a different part of the track. Just looked like he's learning all the time. Ran the fastest final furlong. He's definitely going to improve for an extra furlong. And it's just very unlike William Haggis to sort of run a such a lightly raced horse in such a big race so soon after that. It's only his third run, but there's huge ability there. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up being the best of these. I don't know if tomorrow's going to be the day, but he's definitely interesting. Wow. And I've had a bit on him. The Secret Adversary is also overpriced for me. I mean, if an Aidan O'Brien colt won a Leopardstown Group 3 trial in the style he did, beating Powell Blue, you know, that horse is going to be 4-5-1. He's 28-1. Sure. I mean, there's obviously the trainer factored into that, but he's obviously taken a big step forward from 2-3. and Arcati going well at a price. So they're two in a wide open guineas.
Yeah, I do like it, Robbie. I do like it. Need a match and secret adversary. Definitely, yeah, sitting right close to each other in the market there. But a lot of people be looking for that each way value in a race like this year. Ed Nixon, how have you looked at this year's 2,000 guineas?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're going industry best price on every one of these horses from 12 noon with Unibet. I'm gonna put the cat amongst the pigeons here, Sam. I know you're a big guineas favourite, but I don't get excited by the 2,000 guineas anymore.
Wow.
I used to absolutely love it. My favourite race is El Gran Señor's 1984 2,000 guineas victory. But I just don't get excited because the season has moved more towards the back end of the year. I don't think you get the best horses running in the guineas anymore. Or certainly on the day, anyway. And I definitely agree with Needle Match. I think he will end up being the best of this lot. I just don't know whether he'll... I mean, that's a bold statement, I know, but I think he's got every chance to improve past these horses during the season. Let's put it that way. There's some good horses on display, but he's far behind them at the moment in the rankings of this race. It's also very difficult to win first time out. I looked at some stats, Sam. I know you like stats. This century, 48 horses have gone to the guineas without a run, and there's been three that have won. Two of those, incidentally, from Charlie Appleby, which we'll come to later on. The Greenham this century, 51 horses came from the Greenham, 3-1, 11 were placed, which is quite interesting. And the Craven, which we haven't even spoken, no one's mentioned the Craven winner, 55 horses came from the Craven and 2 horses won and 9 were placed. So, I mean, first time out horses in the 2,000 guineas, you don't win that often, but they're on a par with the two main classic race trials. And I kind of get the feeling that you should go for a trainer that's done it before. Now, Aidan O'Brien, 8 times he's taken a horse to a Newmarket to win the guineas first time out, but he hasn't done it since Saxon Worry in 2018. Uh-huh. And as has already been mentioned, City of Troy didn't do it, Augustin Rodin didn't do it, and Expanded didn't do it yet last year. There's a trainer here who's becoming a bit of an expert at winning the guineas first time out, and that's Charlie Appleby. He's only had 10 horses that have gone in the 2,000 guineas first time out, and 2 of them have won, and a further 2 have been placed, including last year, a winner and a third. And I've just got a feeling that Distant Storm, this will be his day. He is one of the top-rated horses in the race. Charlie Appleby knows how to win it first time out after a long gap. And he's got some good form. I mean, as Matt was saying, that Dewhurst was a decent race, and Stat came second and Distant Storm came third. So there isn't that much between them. And I've just given the profile of the trainer, the profile of the horse, the profile of the race. I'm going to go all in on Distant Storm.
Okay. Distant Storm then. Yeah, like it really is. I think there's going to be, you could go down to the comment section, everyone will put their comments in, you could get a different horse from everyone, to be totally honest. It really is an interesting race. So yeah, do let us know, get those comments in down below. There is another big race over in America on Saturday night, and I'm just going to do a little advert to this and we'll push to it and give you a little short clip. But Callum Helliwell, Johnny Pearson and Sean Collins from Bloodhorse did a preview of this year's Kentucky Derby at 11:57 on Saturday night. So have a look at this. It's going to be out on Friday morning at 8 a.m, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Well, the Kentucky Derby comes up on Saturday, and if you, like me, are struggling to work out what a buyer speed figure is or how 20 horses are going to navigate their way around Churchill Downs, you can tune in at 8 a.m. on Friday morning as me, Johnny and Sean, who's live from America, will discuss all things Kentucky Derby. Hopefully, we'll be able to find some winners, and if not, we'll point you in the right direction.
Welcome back to part 2 of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the ITV action this Saturday. And we move over to Goodwood now. And everyone on this show will know how much I love this beautiful race course. And my producer, who's she's been out at Olivia Dean's last night, has told me not to mention Goodwood too much and yap on about how great it is. So I will just move on to the races we're going to look at. And the first of which is going to be the 130, which is the Chelmer Filly Stakes. The listed race here, over 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds. And currently, Fitzella's topping the market with Unibet 2-1. Zooming 7-2. Hasselay is 11-2. Argentine Tango 7-1. Princess Patrol 17-2. Flowerhead 10-1. Hollywood Treasure 11. Soul Love 14s. And Starfinch is the outside of the bunch at 40 1-1. Now, this was another race, I believe, Robbie, when this horse ran at Newmarket, Hassalay. I was over by your desk and I said, this looks a bit of a rocket ship. Am I missing something here? This 11-2 actually was bigger, I think, sort of 7-1, but it's been well back since we've been on air. I was so impressed by this horse. She's very lightly raised. The two that were clear, actually, they look quite smart horses, but they were well clear of the third. I think she could be a bit of a monster, to be totally honest. How did you look at this?
Yeah, she could be. I mean, I was equally as impressed watching it with you. It's an interesting bit of placement. She's 1/7 there, but she did show an awful lot of speed. Bred to be a miler, really. The dam was second in the 1,000 guineas, but she looked very quick that day. It's just a case of what she actually be at Newmarket.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Fitzella is no mug at all. I mean, she's got a lot of speed. You know, she was leading them in the Nell Gwynn, didn't quite get home. Never quite like a 7 furlong filly. It's definitely going to prefer going back to 6. But we kind of know where we stand with her. We know her level. She's run a lot of times. Whereas this Hassalay, you know, could reach a much higher level than what we've seen. So at the prices, yeah, I'd agree. I don't think the fillies at the top of the market are much more experienced. And I'd take her to improve past them.
Yeah, Hassalay for Robbie Wilders, Hassalay for me. Matt Rennie, Goodwood is back on our screens, as far south from you as you can probably get, but who did you like in this?
Yep, good. Thank God for that, eh? No, I'm joking. It's good to see Goodwood back. It always means the summer's here. But I have to say, I can understand the case for Hassalay, and you almost hope, I'm not backing her, but you almost hope she bursts onto the scene and could be this a proper... you know, a leading sprint filly for the season. But I'm going the tried and tested route with Fitzella. I just thought she was really good last year. She was really, really quick, actually, obviously winning a Group 3 on King George Day for the juvenile fillies. And she's unpenalised for that off level weights in this. And I think she sets a really, really high standard. I thought she ran really well in the Nell Gwynn at the a couple of weeks ago now. She just didn't stay, and I think this Goodwood 6 furlong trip will suit her very, very well. I do wonder if they'll just try and keep her prominent, go from the front to avoid any of the standard mess we see in some of the races at Goodwood. Most of the races, if not all of them at Goodwood, when we see the bumper cars in behind. So I'm just sticking with Fitzella to use her experience and make it count.
Okay, Fitzella for Matt Rennie then. The roller coaster is back, Ed Nicholas, and the roller coaster is Goodwood. Who did you like in here?
Super boost race. And I agree with Robbie. Hassalay was really impressive. Sam's got my vote as well. I thought that Newmarket performance was really special, actually. Travelled well, showed good speed. 10 months off the track before that run, you'd imagine there's a lot of improvement. And she, you know, she does have to improve to go past the form horse in the race. I think she will. I was a bit like Robbie. I was surprised they dropped her to 6. I thought it'd be 7 or even a mile maybe, but she's obviously got a lot of pace and, yeah, just be interesting. It's obviously a listed race. They'd probably take this and work out where to go after, maybe hopefully go even higher up the rank. But I thought she's quite a good price as well. I mean, she has got to beat two horses that are rated higher, but she's not had the chance to show how good she is. And she, I mean, she's definitely better than what she's shown. And the two above her, certainly Fitzella has got the form in the book already. Suming's another horse that could improve, definitely. I thought she was a massive price.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the website, Unibet website at the moment. You can obviously see where the price has been cut. 7-1, 13-2, 6-1, 11-2. I still think the 11-2 is fairly fair. I think she's a really good price. So yeah, it's Hassalay for myself, Ed and Robbie, and Fitzella, who is, yeah, probably the solid horse for Matt Rennie. Right, let's move on. There's got one more race from Goodwood, which is the Conqueror Filly Stakes, a listed contest over a mile. This is for the three-year-old and older horses, coming at 2:05 there. And Blue Bolt for Andrew Balding, Colin Keane, the Judgment Team are 5-4 favourites currently. She's Perfect is back on a race course at 85-40. Contiki is 6-1. Arisaig, who's of course a distance winner, is 13-2. Never Let Go, 12-1. And Betty Clover is the outsider at 33-1. It seems like it's going to be a battle between the top two here, Matt Rennie, Blue Bolt and She's Perfect. You might look at it another way, but it might be, again, who's just fitter first time up.
Yeah, I've no doubt Blue Bolt will probably be the classiest one in the lineup. But I'm happy to take her and she's perfect on, given they're both making the seasonal appearances. She's perfect from a long, long time off. And I've had a little, a quietly fancy Arise to run quite a big race here. See, she's really? She's been over the course and distance three times. She's won once, and then she got absolutely hampered at Glorious Goodwood once, but did really well to finish as close as she did. And she was only beaten three quarters of length in the Group 2 Celebration Mile against the boys last season. Look, she's going to need a load of luck in running, but you might get a bit more luck in a five runner field than you would do in a six runner field, sorry, than you would do in a 16 runner field. So she's already got race fitness on her side. Good second in a handicap at the Craven meeting. We know the track suits. Jamie Spence is going to hold her up. It'll be about whether you get the luck, but she'll be finishing faster rather than tailing off at the crucial stages of the race. So 13-2, 7-1. I think Harris, you know, if she's going to beat these high class horses, it'll be today or on this day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Arise. Yeah. Course and distance. Like I say, and that's exactly what you need at Goodwood. Robbie Wilders. I mean, She's Perfect is interesting. Obviously was beaten second, by Zari Garner over in France, the Graffard horse in the kind of 1,000 guineas trial out there. And then their 1,000 guineas, the Pooleash. And it all depends on how good you think Zara Garner actually is, to whether, you know, if She's Perfect comes back to form and that kind of level, is she good enough to beat a horse like Blue Bolt, who kind of had a fairly kind of consistent season last year?
Yeah, that's it. We haven't seen her in quite a while, She's Perfect, but I mean, obviously she almost won a classic. Zara Garner, not the biggest fan. I don't know if she always puts it all in. The talent's obviously there, but I think She's Perfect might have been flattered to finish so close to her.
Yeah,
I think Blue Bolt is just a better filly, to be honest. She's come a long way in a very short space of time. By the time She's Perfect had almost won the Pooleash, Blue Bolt's still a maiden. Since then, she's just climbed through the ranks rapidly, won a listed race, second to Fallen Angel in the Sun Chariot. That race was insane on the clock. It was like something like 3 seconds faster than standard. I think that's proper form. Fallen Angel, there's no one better than her in this sort of division. Just looks the type that could really kick on again as a four-year-old, having obviously made her debut much later than a lot of these. Andrew Baldwin in form, Colin Keane over, got a lock-in Gentry as well. She's just the sort of horse that's going to be running in sort of Sun Chariot, Falmouth, Matron Stakes, those sort of races. So I'll be disappointed enough if she wasn't able to win this.
Yeah, I think that Blue Bolt's probably the one in here, to be honest. And I'm listening to Charlie Fellow's interview on Sky yesterday, just saying that She's Perfect is going to improve for the run. And that's obviously going to be an obvious thing to say when she had so long off the track. So there is going to be improvement there, and Blue Bolt could just be ready first time. How did you look at it, Ed?
I found it quite difficult in terms of form to differentiate between the top two in the betting. Different form to look at, but roughly the same sort of ability, I thought. I did think it was between the top two. It's interesting that Matt's gone for Ozark in the third horse, but I mean, and it's a good point he made, actually, because they're both going to have bigger targets later on in the season.
Yeah.
And this horse has come second in a handicap and is, you know, raring to go. So yeah, it's a quite interesting selection, I think. But if you look at the end of the season, you'd expect Blue Bolt and She's Perfect to be well above that one in ratings. And I don't know, Charlie Fellow's horses are in great form. Although she'll definitely come on for the run, because she hasn't run since the French Oaks, in soft ground, over too far. So back to a mile on good ground will suit. And the stable are in good form. I think they're 73% RTF. And Cosy Bello won for the stable last Saturday. A good ride by Paddy Bradley. He takes a ride again. So maybe at the prices, you would go for She's Perfect at 3-1 over 6-4 Blue Bolt. But it's interesting that Robbie had a look at the time of when these horses progress through their careers, because I did exactly the same thing and I made exactly the same point. Blue Bolt is one of those fillies that Andrew Baldwin does so well with. He brings them along. Calpana comes to mind recently, and they just improve and improve. And Blue Bolt, Sun Chariot, second. Again, Robbie made the point. I think the Racing Post ranked it the 10th highest RPR for a runner up. The best RPR for a runner up in the last 10 years, and the winner, that was the best RPR for a winner of the Sun Chariot for 20 years. So it's obviously a very, very good race. So Blue Bolt, you know, is probably the more likely winner, but you know, at the prices, I'm just going to go for She's Perfect, who's basically double the odds of Blue Bolt, and I can only really see one of those two winning.
Okay, there we go. Three different selections. We're kind of ending the show with different selections. We started with joint selections, but Matt Rennie's going to be with Arisay, Robbie Wilder's with Blue Bolt, and Ed's going to take a chance with She's Perfect in the 2:05 at Goodwood. Right, we've got one more race to look at. You might be wondering why Fersk is on the ITV card when you've got the likes of Newmarket and Goodwood, but this is a really, really great race for the Fersk Hunt Cup. 1 mile here, and the field currently have a 4-1 favourite in C-Force, Blue RC 5-1, City of Poets 6-1, Flight Plan 13-2, Mersky 10-1, Bellarchy is 10-1, 12-1, bar these. Some old favourites in here as well, the likes of Ross Scollin and Witch Hunter all running. I think this is a fairly good race at first on Saturday. Matt Rennie, who did you like?
Yeah, it's great. Thirsk is only about 20 miles from me in York, so it's great they have a lovely day in the limelight as well. It's a race which, given the nature of it, as you said, we get a lot of the old boys in terms of handicappers for the flat turning up. So it can go to your 6-year-olds, your 7-year-olds. And I've landed on Mersky to go and do the odds for David O'Mara and Mark Wynn, who gets on quite well with him. He was a really good second 2 years ago at the Ebor meeting in that Clipper handicap. Always ultra competitive, we said earlier on. I thought it was a lovely return over 1 mile, 1 furlong. He probably just doesn't stay that far this distance. He probably wants this mild trip. He's a course and distance winner in the past. Well, he's £1 lower for his last run, which would probably put him spot on for this. So I'm with Mersky. I think they might have had this one in mind for quite a while, that this is the race for him.
Okay, Mersky for Matt Rennie then. Robbie Wilder's for you.
Yeah, so it's a really competitive race. You could spend all day on it. I mean, Flight Plan was one that took my eye initially because he won it last year. He's £8 lower, but seems to have gone backwards since. He's got a tongue tie for the first time. I don't know exactly where we stand. For Blue RC, he was just interesting for James Tate. He's just really progressive. Still lightly raced. RPRs are 97, 99, 104, 106. Just moved up the ladder nicely. Back on turf off a mark in 99. He could still have a little bit more to come on turf. He's actually unbeaten on turf. If you take out his one run over a sprinting trip, he's not a sprinter, he's a miler. The run behind Tyrrhenian Sea last time in a really good race in Newcastle, that's proper form, I think, and he's off the same mark. So I struggled to see him out of the frame at least.
Okay. Blue RC, I found Blue RC really fascinating for Jay Set. I think the horse is just, like Robbie said, just gradually improving. Ed, you're going to give the final selection on this week's show. Who's it going to be?
First of all, one of 13 races we're going extra place on in this race. As you'd expect, always a competitive handicap. But I actually really like this race. It's been on ITV for a few years now, and it's an interesting race. The draw, I always thought, used to be really important. I always used to think you have to have a high number, but there's been a couple of horses that have won from stall two in recent years. But I still go for a high number. I think 12 of the last 13 winners have been drawn 6 or higher. And it, although an 8-year-old has won it, it does tend to favour the younger horses and horses that carry less than the kind of top weights. There were a few here that fit the kind of stats and the trend. So it is a really difficult race. So it's far from being a big bet for me. But I will have a few quid on Bellarchy, number 11, who comes into the race in top form, having won the last couple of runs. He's drawn stall 10. He's a winner. He's won, I think it's a she actually, isn't it? Won 9 times in her career. Yeah, it's a female. Her career. And she, you know, she put in a really good performance last time out. She does go well at Musselburgh, which you think would be a very different track from Thirsk, but she's run well at Thirsk in the past as well. So I'm going to, I think she'll continue to improve over the last few weeks as she has done. And you know, Andrew Mullen can kick home Bellarchy, round about 10-1, I think.
Yeah, okay. Bellarchy for Ed Nixon. And remember, do check out all the offers on the Unibet website. All the terms will be there for you to see. Right, that's it for the ITV action. We're going to get any other selections and our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? and get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Matt Rennie and Ed Nixon. Now giving any other selections and the best bet. And the guys will be hard at work, the Racing Post guys, looking at the 1,000 guineas, trying to find the winner. You'll be able to find details of those all online and in the paper over the weekend. But Ed Nixon, you're going to give your fancy for this year's 1,000 guineas.
Yeah, it's far from original, but as you know, on this podcast, we've been, or postcast as it's known, we've been talking about Venetian Sun ever since she put in a really good time first time out, and we selected her for the Royal Ascot. And, you know, we've always thought that she could be a good filly, and she's proved to be one of the best fillies of her generation. So I'm really hoping she goes well in the 1,000 guineas. She's got the form in the book. She should be, you know, second favourite, vying for favouritism, possibly. Depending on how Aidan O'Brien's horses go the day before. And it'd be great for my old boss, Tony Bloom, to win a classic. I'd love him to do that. And they also have a good chance in the Oaks as well. So I think Venetian Sun's well worth following at the very least in the guineas, and I hope she wins.
Okay, look out for Venetian Sun on Sunday at Newmarket then. Right, best bet time then. Guys, let's see who our best bets are for the ITB action this weekend. I'm going to kick things off this week. I think Hasselaide is going to win that 130 at Goodwood. Like I say, such an impressive performance at Newmarket last time up. I think she's going to improve. I think the price is more than fair, 11-2, and I think she's going to be very classy despite dropping back in trip. Matt Rennie, your nap, please.
Well, we've got to go in the big race, given we're kicking off the flat season now properly with a bang. 2,000 guineas, 335 Newmarket, Stard.
Okay, Stard and 2,000 guineas. Oh, Matt Rennie. Robbie Wilders, your nap.
Erzincan in the 220 at Newmarket, the Suffolk Stakes, for that man, Mr. Terry Kent.
Terry Kent's Erzincan for Robbie Wilders. And finishes off, Ed Nixon, your best bet, please.
Yeah, going to go for a big price horse this occasion in the Palace House Stakes, 255 Newmarket. Charlie Appleby's got a good record in this race, and I think he'll continue that good record with Beckford's Folly, who has been gelded, is a bit fizzy, but doesn't have to travel that far once again to Newmarket. That might just be something that he likes, and I'm hoping Beckford's Folly can outrun the 14-1 or so odds.
Okay, there you go. The naps are on the screen there. You can see the prices there, whose selections and where they are running. So yeah, if you want to have a bet on them, do screenshot those now. That's it for this week's postcast. Big thanks to Ed Nixon, Robbie Wilders and Matt Rennie. I'm not actually here in the hosting chair next week. I'm going to take a week off, but I will be back the week after, which I believe will be Lockinge week. Really looking forward to the Lockinge this year for the open horse over a mile. So yeah, I look forward to that. But until then, do like, comment, share and subscribe, and we will see you again next Thursday here on the Racing Postcast.